we may turn and consider as the Lord will enable us, while you'll find in the chapter of God's Word read, the Gospel according to Mark chapter 8. We may read again at verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Savior, in addressing his disciples at this time, along with the people, said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That is what was required of his disciples at that time. That is what is required of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in every age of time. That is, if they are to come after Christ, they must be given to self-denial. And they must take up their cross and follow Jesus in the way. For it is not an easy path that the Lord maps out for his followers in this world, but one that will involve difficulty and trial, and one that will bring them face to face with reproach for his sake, and even with persecution. Therefore, he speaks to them in this way, not only to that generation, but to our own generation also, to all who are followers of Christ. Such are called to self-denial, taking up their cross and following him. He goes on to show them that they are to lose their life for his sake and the gospel, if they are to save it. For he says, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it." He makes known to them all on this occasion the profitlessness of gaining the whole world and losing one's own soul. Thus the question of what shall a man give in exchange for his soul, what is worth more than the soul of man? Therefore, what shall it profit a man, though he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Many in this generation and in other generations also lost their soul without even gaining a little part of this world. Even if they had gained the whole world and lost their soul in the end, what would it profit them then? First of all, we find the Savior saying here to those whom he is addressing, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angel." We may notice, first of all, in connection with these words, how the Savior describes that generation. When he speaks of it in this way, this adulterous and sinful generation, then secondly, what is brought before us here in connection with being ashamed of Christ and of his word, even in such a generation as this, an adulterous and sinful generation. First of all, what will be true? Those say, who are ashamed of Christ in such a day as this, that is, say, of that one, Christ, the Son of Man, shall be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angel. Christ will own those who are not ashamed of him, but Christ will not own those who are ashamed of him. Even in such a day as this, that will be true when he cometh in the last day, when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angel. He speaks of the generation of that day as this adulterous and sinful generation. It is very evident from the Word of God that there are times when the children of men are more sinful and evil than at other times, when their evil seems to rise up to heaven, crying out to heaven for judgment. That was true of Sodom and Gomorrah, upon which the Lord poured out the vials of his wrath. Fire and brimstone was poured out from heaven upon these ungodly cities, because their sin had reached such a height. And these could be called adulterous and sinful cities that ripened for judgment. For sin does not immediately rise to such a height. It is a process that goes on over a period of time. And it is very clear that the Lord, in his dealings with the children of men, as he sees them going on in sin, the Lord sends warnings to men of the judgment that yet must come if they go on in sin. And it is when these warnings of the Lord are rejected, men add sin to sin, that the sin rises to a great height, as it did in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, so that there was no remedy but the outpouring of divine wrath suddenly poured out upon these godless cities, that in the judgment of God, wrath of God was kindled by those adulterous and sinful cities. It is clear also with regard to the old world that old world perished because that generation had become a sinful and adulterous generation. When God looked down upon that sinful generation, he saw the evil that was there. God saw that the wickedness of man was very great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Here was, say, a sinful and adulterous generation, a generation heaping up evil and wickedness, until the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Only Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Only Noah and his family were preserved out of that old world. The rest of that old world perished in the flood that God brought upon that generation to destroy it utterly because of their sin and their guilt. That God who manifested his hatred to sin and poured out his judgment, say, upon the earth in time past, is the same God still, the sin-hating and the sin-avenging Jehovah. And as there were such times as these, of wickedness reaching to a great height, different periods of the earth's history, and in different parts of the earth. So it is in our own day. So it is in our own land. So that it can be said of the generation that now inhabits our own land, this adulterous and sinful generation, the nation has reached heights of evil and wickedness that were not reached hitherto, so that evil is called good and good is called evil. We are to remember, as it was with these other generations, this did not arise overnight. This did not happen in a short time, but over a long period of time, the sin of the nation has increased more and more. That sin has increased notwithstanding the warnings that God has given to us as a nation and as a generation. What a fearful conflict the Lord permitted to come and brought upon the nations in the two world wars, when the multitudes of the young of many nations were slain in battle. That was the voice of God calling the nations to repentance, and calling our own nation to repentance, to turn from our sin and from our evil ways. How solemn these judgments were. The Lord is still speaking to the nations of the earth in terrible things, the awful calamities that are coming upon nature, that because of the sin and evil that is done, our sin and our guilt as a nation is very great. Because we have forsaken our God, to whom much is given of the same shall much be required. Therefore, because we have received so many privileges and blessings as a people, so our sin and our backsliding is more, makes us more blameworthy even than heathen land, which have never known the glorious gospel of the blessed God. How then is it that nations and generations rise up to such a height of sin and of evil that the generation has to be called, as this particular generation was called by the Savior, this adulterous and sinful generation? That can never be without the first of all there coming in forgetfulness of God. That is what opens the door for sin and for evil. Forgetfulness of God. And that is what is true of our own nation and generation. It is marked out as a generation that has forgotten God. God is not in all the thoughts of men. Many are living as though God was not, as though God had ceased to sit upon the throne of his glory, and as though men were not accountable to the God of heaven. That is the thought of men in our day. Therefore, men say to themselves that they may live here as they please. They may trample upon all the commandments of God. They may trample these commandments under their feet and yet suffer nothing by it. Not laying to heart that the eye of Jehovah is upon the children of men. The Lord sees and beholds the sons of men full well. He knows the evil of this generation as none other knows. He knows the character of this generation as an adulterous and sinful generation, but he knows it in a way that no other can know it, for nothing is hid from his all-seeing eye. He is the sin-hating one, so that when sin rises more and more, warning is given by God. A nation is not immediately given over to such lengths in sin and in evil. That was true even of the heathen nations. There was a progression in evil and in all the abominations to which they were given over. In the first chapter of Romans, we are told of the heathen nations. changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Then we learn, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, say, through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. When they went on still in sin, God gave them up farther unto vile affection. So it is with the Lord in his dealings with men. When they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Such are the steps in which nations and generations go on, as they go on farther and farther in the ways of sin and evil, so that a generation can be called an adulterous and sinful generation. But we are to lay to heart with regard to sin rising to great heights as this, the higher a generation or a nation rises in sin and in evil, but the sin of that, the more the sin and evil of that generation or nation arises, the nearer they come to judgment and to the wrath of God. The nearer they are to the outpourings of the vials of the wrath and indignation of the God of heaven. In the light of that, surely we have reason to fear, as a nation and as a people, as an adulterous and sinful generation, the Lord will command that in anger and in wrath pour out his judgments upon them. Let us go on to notice then, in such a time as this, or in the midst of such a generation as this, what is required of those who would be true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? For in the midst of the darkest generations, there have been those who were found followers of the divine Redeemer. In the old world, there was found Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Even in Sodom, Lot was found a righteous man. So it is in every generation. In the generations when sin arises to a great height, there are those in the midst of these generations who are followers of the Lamb of God, who have come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and who therefore are called to follow him. For his people are not called to follow him only in the good day, when it may be in a measure easy to follow Jesus in the way, but in the dark day, in the day when sin has reached to great heights, that is when the test comes, when those who profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ will follow him in that dark day, in the day of blasphemy and of rebuke, that in the midst of an adulterous and sinful generation. So that we have brought before us here the Savior saying, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, That is the danger that besets them on every hand, by reason of the darkness of the day, a day in which it is not easy to follow the Lord and to follow Him fully in the midst of the evil that is on every hand. They are warned here lest they should be ashamed of Him and of His word in the midst of such a generation. Such a time is a separating time between those who only make a profession of being followers of Christ, those who are true followers of the Savior. For those who are followers of Him in name only, when faced with such a generation as this, they are ready to be ashamed of Christ and of His word. What a solemn thing that is, that anyone should be ashamed of Jesus Christ, the one in whom they are to glory, the one who is the Savior of lost and ruined and hell-deserving sinners, the one who gave His life a ransom for many, who died the accursed death of the cross, are those who own Him as their Savior to be ashamed of Him in such a day as this, in a day when the powers of evil are strong and Satan's kingdom is very powerful in the earth and in our land, in a day when those who depart from iniquity make themselves a prey? What scorn is cast upon those who will not join with the wicked in their evil doing in such a day as this, in a day in an adulterous and sinful generation? Scorn is poured upon by the world lying in the wicked one as they justify themselves in their course of sin and evil. Who has the right to say anything to them? Who has any right to rebuke them because of the evil in which they engage? They are free according to their own thought and their own mind to go on as they please, even in the ways of sin and evil. In an adulterous and a sinful generation, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are exposed to much reproach for His sake. They are therefore called to suffer a reproach for Him, and not to be ashamed of Him or of His word, but to confess Him in such a dark day, and own Him as their Savior, as their Redeemer, as their all. That in the face of an ungodliness, in the face of sinners who are going on to great lengths in sin and evil, Christ is to be owned, Christ is to be acknowledged, Christ is to be magnified in their life and in their conversation, to show as the disciples In that day, in this particular generation of which the Savior speaks, an adopted an adulterous and sinful generation. The people of God are now called, like the apostles, to show by their life, walk, and conversation that they have been with Jesus and have learned of Him, so that men can see a difference between the followers of Christ and those who are not His. How quick the world is to recognize those who are true followers of the Lamb of God, and how quick the world is to distinguish between those who are Christians only in name and those who are followers of Christ of a truth. The children of God, in the midst of such a day as this, a day of blasphemy and of rebuke, a day when the Spirit of God is in such large measure denied, because of the backsliding of the age, they have to cleave fast to their Savior, their Redeemer, and own Him, who is the mighty God of Jacob, the one in whom they have come to trust, the one who gave His life a ransom for them, who paid their ransom price. They are bought with a price, and they are to glorify God in their bodies and in their spirits, which are God. They belong to Christ. Therefore they are not to deny Him, but to confess. How many in our own land, in other days, in days of persecution, did confess Christ, and would not deny Him, and would not be ashamed of Him, even although it meant for them suffering unto death, for His name's sake? So are His people are called to a readiness of mind, to own their Lord and Master, come what may. Who can tell what troubles, what trials, what vexations, what persecutions may yet arise, because this is an adulterous and sinful generation? What troubles may arise for the true followers of Jesus Christ? They are not to be ashamed of Him, whatever may meet with them in the way, however dark the day may become. Christ is to be owned by them and confessed by them. They are to hold fast their profession, even in the midst of an adulterous and sinful generation. That is one side of it. That is what is called for by those who are followers, or who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, that they would not be ashamed of Him or of His words. Words which He has spoken, His words are left on record in the Scriptures of truth. These they are not to be ashamed, because these are the words of life. Here is a revelation that is glorious, Therefore they are to cleave fast to the word of God in the midst of an adulterous and sinful generation, knowing that that word is to stand, shall stand to a thousand generations. The Lord will preserve his own word, that in the darkest day it shall not perish, but it shall be preserved. We must go on to notice what is true with regard to those who are ashamed of Christ and of his word in an adulterous and sinful generation. For there are such who, when the time of testing comes and the time of trial comes, they go back and walk no more with him. That was true of the Savior in the time that the Savior was in this world. There were those who were his disciples for a time. Then when the Savior spoke to them concerning certain doctrines of the truth, that they must eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, this to them was an hard saying, and they went back, and they walked no more with him. They turned away, because they were never at heart true followers of Jesus Christ. That is what is true of this generation also. Many who profess to be followers, say, of the Lord, have gone back and walked no more with them. In this adulterous and sinful generation, they have denied the Lord whom they confess. They were ashamed of Christ in this generation. That was true in times of persecution in Scotland during a covenanting time. There were those who for a time joined themselves to the covenanters and who were given a place because their profession seemed to be true. For a period they remained amongst those who were standing fast to the word of God until the time of trial came, and then they turned back. Some of these became the greatest persecutors of the people of God, who once professed to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. How searching a matter this is then, that it is, when the time of testing comes, that it is then it will be manifest who are in truth, living followers of the living Savior, and who are ready to own him in the midst of an adulterous and sinful generation. What a solemn matter this is in regard to those who turn away from the Lord, who are ashamed of him and of his word. To forsake the Lord Jesus Christ, to forsake the one in whom alone salvation is to be found, the one who suffered and who died on Calvary, to turn to him the back and not the face. How solemn for anyone Even in such a time as this, an adulterous and sinful generation, to turn away from the Lord of life and glory, to turn therefore into ways that are not good, ways that will lead the soul at last to destruction. For it is evident of such that their feet were never set upon the narrow way, that they were on the broad way, and they continued on that broad way, and will continue on it, until at last the Lord will pronounce a sentence upon them. He will be ashamed of them in that day. He will not own them as his own. Whatever appearance they made for a little time, it will count for nothing when the Lord will come. For it is those who continue unto the end that shall be saved. Those who hold fast even to the end of their course here, cleaving to Christ in the midst of an ungodly generation. Seeing that this is so, what need there is in such a day as this to lay to heart the many influences that are abroad, seeking to take the hearts and minds of those who are the people of God away from the Savior and from his word. Therefore, what need all the more to cleave to Jesus Christ and to his word? Lest we should be found in the end false witnesses of him, those who were followers only Pharisees, and after the last turned away. How solemn what is recorded in the Pilgrim's Progress concerning this matter of following the Savior for a time, making an outward profession of Jesus Christ, and yet falling away at last, because the soul was never united in a living and a saving way to the divine Redeemer. So that we find Bunyan saying that he saw there was a way to hell from the very gates of heaven. Here the believing soul is called then to own Christ and not to deny, but to cleave to him. For the Lord is saying, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. There is to be a day of account, there is to be a day of reckoning, and that is to come in the last day, when Christ shall come in the glory of his Father, with unveiled glory in that day, when the trumpet shall sound, when Christ shall come with the myriads of holy angels to judge the living and the dead. He is coming then to acknowledge his own, as his own in that day, when there will be a separation made between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve the Lord, and those who serve Him not. And those who served Him but for a season and turned away and served Him no longer, they shall be found on the left hand in that day. What a day that will be! What shame, what confusion of faith shall belong to those who were ashamed of Christ and of His word. When they shall hear the awful sound, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting burn, prepared for the devil and for his angels." How different it will be for those who followed Christ in the dark day, in the adulterous and sinful generation. Who can tell that more glory, but that more glory redounds to God, that for the preservation of His people, in a dark day than in a bright day. What a dependency the children of God need to have upon the Lord in every day, but particularly in the dark day, and in the day that is spoken of here, this adulterous and sinful generation, to live out a life of godliness in the midst of an ungodly generation. What conflict there must be there, what opposition to an ungodly age. That was true of the godly in the time of the godly in the generations past. We are told of Enoch, sevens from Adam, who prophesied, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." That time is to come when it will be evident who they are, who followed Jesus in the way, and followed Him in the midst of an ungodly and the adulterous generation. They will be acknowledged in that day by Christ. So say who have held fast, who have continued in the midst of such a time, and who have suffered for His sake, and who have borne reproach for Him. He will in that day own and acknowledge them. He will acknowledge them as His own. They will be on the right hand in that day. He will present them to the Father as a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He will own them. He will not be ashamed of them, but He will own them before His Father, acknowledging in that day, "I am the people whom are the children whom the Lord has given. They shall enter into rest. They will be delivered out of all their troubles, all their trials. Trials have met them in this life. They shall go in to that everlasting rest that awaits the children of God in glory. May the Lord add his blessing, let us pray. Lord, unto thy own mercy, enable us to look to thee, and to realize our great need of thy grace, and of thy strength, and of thy help in the midst of an adulterous and generation, that thy people would be found waiting upon thee, and living for thee, and denying themselves, and taking up their cross, and following Jesus in the way. O, do thou come, Lord, in thy power, to work mightily to the strengthening of thine own, and to the calling out of many out of this ungodly generation, to be a people for thyself. Father, thou art able to do this by thy mighty power. Thou art able to pluck souls as brands from the burning. Grant it in thy mercy and in thy love. O, leave us not, give us not over as a nation and as a people to destruction, as our sins deserve, but do thou bring us as a nation to repentance. We would grieve over our sin and our iniquity and our backsliding. Turn us and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Undertake for us each one. Lift upon us the light of thy countenance. Pardon all our sins, for Jesus' sake, amen. We may conclude singing in Psalm 15, the 15th Psalm. Within thy tabernacle, Lord, who shall abide with thee? And in thy high and holy hill, who shall a dweller be? The man that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and as he thinketh in his heart, so doth he truth express. Who doth not slander with his tongue, nor to his friend doth hurt, nor yet against his neighbor doth take up an ill report. In whose eyes vile men are despised, but those that God do fear he honoureth, and changeth not, though to his heart he swear. His coin puts not to usury, nor take reward will he against the guiltless. Who doth thus shall never move it be. Psalm 15, within thy tabernacle, Lord.
Within thy
prayer meeting, the Lord willing, on Thursday evening at 7:30. And the service is next Sabbath, the Lord willing, as usual, at 11:00 and at 6:30. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.